CliffCentral.com.
All right. Sia still doesn't know anything about El Giro. Still not there.
Yes, but Beyonce can tilt in a chair.
Oh, my God. Everybody's talking about this like it's a major thing. So what's the story with Beyonce and this chair?
It is a major thing.
Tell me what happened.
Well, let's begin with what time did you wake up today, Sia?
Stupid o'clock.
Which was what time?
2:30.
Why?
To watch the Grammys live.
Okay. So that's where we need to start.
Really?
Guys.
And go.
This is normal, though.
Right. You've just woken up. You're ready to take on the day. CliffCentral.com. We're here to keep you company and fill you in on what's going on in the news. So we just had Anthea and we had Neil Collins on. Talking about the violence at the Orlando Pirates Sundowns game.
You know, Neil makes a good point about this whole control thing. I was watching SuperSport Blitz this morning.
Yes.
Didn't see a single moment of that crowd violence.
Well,
and during my prep, the thing loops three times.
SuperSport don't want to... They are anathema to controversy. If anything controversial happens, believe me, it's not going to come up on SuperSport. Because their business is selling happy sports things. That's what they do.
But the
why would they want to be involved with controversy?
The hilarious thing is, on Saturday, I was watching the SuperSport panel, and they kept on not even discussing the actual violence, but saying, our team is safe. Thank you for asking. You know, we have private. I'm like, no,
this
we don't care about you guys.
By the way, this is the same reason. And that's fine. I understand that. But you're never going to be honest unless you also take in some of the negative stuff. You have to show that you're balanced. There's no balance there. That's why they have no commentators who have any teeth. All their commentators are smiley faces. Might as well have Peter and Doro there going, so tell us, Mr. President, wasn't the state of the nation wonderful? Like he did on SABC the other day. Become another cuck, hack, bullshit news organization. Because that's what you are. If you're a sports organization that does sports news, but you're not prepared to tell the truth, you're actually just pushing stuff under the carpet. You're trying to convince people everything is great. Like when Peter and Dory asks the president, how great. Did you get nervous before your speech, Mr. President? No, Peter, I was actually very amused by the EFF. Don't mention the EFF. We don't want to talk about them, Mr. President. Oh, that's right. My people came and briefed you beforehand. I almost made a poo-poo.
It must be very frustrating being these people.
Yeah.
Pee on your head and tell you it's raining.
Neil Collins couldn't wait to just rip ANN 7 and the new age, a new one after they fight. It must really be difficult working for these organizations and knowing that you have no power and no say over how your job gets done. You get told how to do it, and you must just do it, and that's it.
Well, I mean, you know, you did some work for ENCA.
Yeah.
You know what that's
I know
like.
All about that.
Right. We worked for the SABC, you and I.
Yeah.
They didn't often involve themselves, but when it came to me trying to get Julius in for an interview, suddenly there was a problem. Ben, you've never been offered a job at SuperSport.
Gareth, I'll never work at SuperSport, and nobody will ever offer me a job there either.
Why? Because you tell the truth?
Well, I'm not going to read a script. I can't do that.
They all...
No, it's not that I can't read. I mean, I'm completely literate, of course. I'm just not going to do that.
They're basically just... what are they? Fake.
You know, that word is getting thrown around a lot these days.
Yeah. It's fake news. I mean, if people invade the pitch and start destroying equipment and hurting each other, that's a news story.
A huge news story.
How do you think your audience, who love what you... And don't get me wrong, SuperSport, you're among the best sports broadcasters in the world.
Yeah, no doubting that.
The way you guys show a game is the best anyone could ever show a game. But who are you trying to kid that you can just whitewash over the truth?
But getting to my initial point, though, is that everyone fears this Irvin Causa. They really do. Because if he doesn't like something, he'll say to SuperSport, don't do that again. And they'll be like, don't worry, we won't. Because of the power he has.
Yeah, well.
It's as simple as that. You get these people who
good
just...
Good for him. I mean, he's been able to create his own universe in his image.
Yeah, it must be nice.
Yeah, it must
to
be.
To have an entire organization fear you like that.
What a powerful man, and so rich.
But he is the Jacob Zuma of sports. Look, what he didn't have a lot.
Well, I reckon Jacob Zuma is basing his whole political philosophy on Ervin Khoza.
They're both political masterminds who have come from nothing to the top, and they've got absolute power, and nobody questions them.
Right. Okay, but let's go back to the Grammys, because that's where we were headed. If you just woke up a moment ago, the Grammys are actually, they've just finished, and we've got some of the, if you care about this, I've decided I'm not watching the Grammys because I know it's going to be full of political stuff. People saying what their political position is. Like, I want to hear that from musicians. Really?
Well, you heard it from Meryl Streep.
Mm. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to watch an awards show and see multimillionaires talking down to everyone else again.
Oh, and the Oscars are
trying
still coming,
to seem relatable.
Oh, yeah.
And complain.
Yeah, complaining
when
about
you put it that way.
Donald Trump is a Nazi and all this stuff that is just patently ridiculous.
Oh, but it's still a fun time.
But who was the host? James Corden?
James Corden.
How was he? Because you watched it live.
True. So James Corden replaced LL Cool J, who's been doing it for the past 40,000 years. and he actually brought new energy to everything because he had little skits during the performances and the award announcements.
James Corden is because nobody really knows who these late night guys are. There's so many of them. It's Jimmy. There's Jimmy Kimmel. There's Jimmy Fallon. There's Jimmy Corden. So James Corden is the one who does the carpool karaoke. Yeah. If you're trying to remember, got an English accent.
Yeah,
that's him.
But brought on this like huge, but this spectacular opening sequence. He tried to do a whole Hamilton-esque rap situation as well. Of course, that's when the first Trump reference was made. Literally in like the first, I'll say 2 minutes of the award show. Then J-Lo came up to announce an award and she made the second Trump reference as well. Then she tried to quote Toni Morrison, you know, the Nobel winning author trying to be very pro rah-rah black and standing up against Trump. I'm like, guys, let's just have fun. Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter, came up to announce an award as well. She made a political stance as well. Goodness gracious. But then all the fun then started. You know, Adele opened up the actual award ceremony as well with Hello, which is kind of a whole nod.
Which won Song of the Year.
Oh, which won everything.
Yeah.
Which is
really
also kind of a nod to last year because she fumbled. She had that little performance fumble. So there were good moments. Blue Ivy, Beyonce's daughter, looked amazing and like cute. She had little cute moments in the audience. 21 Pilots took their pants off when they accepted their award.
That's
what,
nice.
You mean like
actual just with their underwear on, because they said they used to watch the Grammys with just in their underwear and they always hoped to win an award one day. So they promised themselves if they ever do, they'll walk up on stage in their underwear. So they did.
So are they boxers or briefs kind of guys?
Boxer briefs.
Oh.
But I just kind of found that like, oh, guys, come on now. And then Beyonce had a whole 5 minutes and 9 second spectacular performance.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's, you know, Beyonce. Of course, the internet went wild and crazy with memes. Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mother, introduced her at the beginning of the performance. And straight after that, I actually switched off because I couldn't care less. But Katy Perry performed.
Oh, sorry.
No, honestly, yeah, I was just like done. Bruno Mars did paid tribute to Prince.
I do know that Ladysmith, Black Mambazo were up for another. They were nominated again this year. I mean, this group has to be our best.
And Vota Kellerman, actually.
How many Grammy wins does the group have at this stage? They've been nominated 16 times.
Wow.
Cheapers. I don't know if they won, though. I'm trying to find out if they won in their category.
Oh, and Adele threw in an F-bomb during a tribute to George Michael.
Well,
that's all it is.
Does anybody want to hear Beyonce's acceptance speech?
No, not really.
I think you know my answer, so I'll keep quiet.
Well, let's dive.
So
I want to know what all the fuss is about. Frankly, I mean, I don't get the whole Beyonce worship thing. So, let's take a listen. I really don't. I don't understand it at all. Is she pregnant again?
No. Ah. She's just packed on a few pounds. Yeah.
She looks big. Is that Blue Iris in the crowd?
Blue Ivy.
Thank you to the Grammy voters for this incredible honor, and thank you to everyone who worked so hard to beautifully capture the profundity of deep Southern culture. I thank God for my family, my wonderful husband, my beautiful daughter, my fans for bringing me so much happiness and support. We all experience pain and loss, and often we become inaudible. My intention for the film and album is to create a body of work that will give a voice to our pain, our struggles, our darkness, and our history, to confront issues that make us uncomfortable. It's important to me to show images to my children that reflect their beauty so they can grow up in a world where they look in the mirror, first to their own families, as well as the news, the Super Bowl, the Olympics, the White House, and the Grammys, and see themselves and have no doubt that they're beautiful, intelligent, and capable. This is something I want for every child of every race. And I feel it's vital that we learn from the past and recognize our tendencies to repeat our mistakes. Thank you again for honoring Lemonade.
I think it's a nice speech.
Yeah.
That sounds very good to me.
Standard,
very mature.
You know.
You see, she's quite... I think it's her fans that piss me off. I don't think it's Beyonce. Like, I don't think I have a problem with Beyonce. I think her fans are just lunatics. It's like Donald Trump fans are lunatics. And anybody who's a fanatic about anyone else is probably going to be off-putting to me.
Well, the...
Because those people are trying to live vicariously through her, and they're trying to take all that Beyonce is and imagine that that's representative of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't them. Like, you're a factory worker with a, you know, with a horrible life, and Beyonce is miles and miles away from you in this superstar bubble. And she is doing great work. But because you worship her, that doesn't elevate your factory job or your life. Keeps you exactly where you are.
Well, the most confusing thing that I've always found with, you know, us as fans, and this is across the board. This is, you know, in sport, whether you're a Real Madrid or Barcelona fan.
Yeah.
Those two groups of fans are insane themselves.
Yeah.
Whether you're, you know, an Adele fan, a Lady Gaga fan, or Beyonce fan.
All madness.
If I say that I don't like Beyonce, somehow there's something wrong with me for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is where I find it to be.
But that's where the word comes from, fanatic. You lose all reasoning and being rational.
Correct.
But I mean, it does also make you stupid for you to think that I must worship Beyonce in the same way that you
because
worship
Because you
her.
Do.
And then, you genuinely take offense when I say, but I didn't like that one album of hers. Like that, you take offense to me saying that. That's where it just becomes insane.
As usual, Mabali is the most sensible.
I'll just judge you.
All right. Well, let's get into some serious news. What do we got this morning?
Okay. Well, if you won the big lottery, let's say you instantly overnight became a millionaire.
Oh, I dream about this all the time.
We all dream about this, right?
And
we
all the time.
We all dream about, what I would do first. And do you think that your life would be better off, or do you think that you would somehow, your quality of life would decrease to the point where you become genuinely stressed?
Better all day.
Yeah.
Better.
I can't see how me, you know, becoming a millionaire overnight could not improve my life. But Britain's youngest Euro Millions winner, she is suing the lotto because she says that ever since becoming a millionaire, she has become so stressed, Gareth, that her life has just become unbearable.
Oh, cry me a river.
And so now she wants to sue the lottery.
See, now all these people who win the lottery just aren't deserving of it.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we win it? We would be such interesting people. We wouldn't have to go, oh, no, I'm so stressed. I want to see the lottery.
The point is, interesting people have to make their own money. That's how they become even more interesting. People who win the lottery always end up poor again. Always. Like 9 out of 10 times. Reminds me of that song from Annie. Do you know that? That's when you asked just now, would it make your life better or worse if you were rich? I love this. This just kind of, these lyrics always to me indicate exactly how humanity behaves when they think they're onto a good thing.
Had to see me?
On a show?
Did they let you out of prison this time, or did you escape?
I cut a deal with Warden.
Rooster. You're the only con I know who could con a cop.
Thanks. Hey, meet my new gal. Lily...
St. Reed.
St. Reed.
We have to listen to this whole thing. Let me just get it to the song. Get to the song, goddammit.
Gotta get...
There we go. Lullaby. Listen to this.
She'd say, kids, there's a place that's like no other. You gotta get there.
I hate musicals, but this is funny.
You don't get there by playing from the rule book.
Uh-uh. You stack the aces.
Mm-hmm. You load the dice.
Mother dear, oh, we know you're down there listening. How can we follow your sweet advice to Easy Street?
Easy Street. Because if you win tons of money in the lotto, don't tell me your life is harder. I don't believe it for a second. There's no way your life is suddenly going to become much more difficult because you got millions. Oh, please.
Well, Jane Park, who was just 17, Gareth, when she scooped the million euros with the first lottery ticket she had ever bought. I mean, she really got lucky.
Yeah.
This was back in 2013. She has now confessed that the huge win has left her incredibly stressed. She's even said to be considering legal action against the lottery board. Miss Park now owns two properties. She calls herself a developer. She said, I thought it would make it 10 times better, but it's made it 10 times worse. I wish I had no money most days. I say to myself, my life would be so much easier if I hadn't won.
All right, then we'll solve your problem. We'll take away all your money and your properties. Let's see how well your life goes then.
But if you're wishing that you had no money, then why are you suing? Because a lawsuit will bring you more money if you win.
Maybe this is how she's trying to get rid of her money, with a stupid lawsuit.
She's an idiot.
Maybe this is the smartest thing she's ever done.
This is pure hypocrisy. Sorry.
Oh, gosh.
I can't believe she's even in the news.
Ugh. Okay. So you think that's a ridiculous lawsuit. Well, there is a husband who is suing Uber in France. Because the app revealed to his wife that he was having an affair.
Oh.
A French businessman is suing Uber. The smartphone app revealed the location where he was, you know, going around and doing the dirty nasty with this other woman.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. He requested an Uber, but he used his wife's phone to do so, right? This is according to local news reports. And then when he returned the phone to her, the app continued sending his wife notifications of his whereabouts despite having logged out of it. This guy has filed a lawsuit against Uber worth 45 million euros.
Yeah, kidding. He can also sit down. Shucks.
Jeepers, what's going on here? His lawyer said that his client was the victim of a bug in an application. The bug has caused him problems in his private life. And this is why they're suing Uber for 45 million euros.
Madness.
Yo, guys, Madness. Let's all just find a reason to sue someone or the other.
See, I'm going to sue you
for
basically giving me that idea to sue someone.
To sue someone.
You know, it's just this complete lack of personal responsibility.
Completely.
So you win the lottery, which is just... It's a chance. It's a one in a billion, maybe.
And you know what you're getting into there.
Right.
You buy the ticket because you know you get money.
Right. So then you get the money. And then because you can't manage your life, and because you're mad and you've got a bunch of bad advisors and you're stupid, basically. Because of that, now it's everyone else's fault. Now everyone else has to be sued because you were dumb and you couldn't handle winning the... Winning the lottery, not losing the lottery. You want to sue? Sue because you lost.
It's a bit like suing Ferrari because the car you bought from them was too fast.
And then this guy.
And then this guy who this had guy. An affair.
So he had
and
an
got
affair.
Caught.
Right. You are having an affair. You got caught. You deserve whatever happens after that. Nobody forced you to have an affair.
And you willingly used your wife's phone to order the vehicle.
You're a moron. You deserve whatever happens to you. I hope you get sued, countersued by Uber, and they take you for everything you've got. You know what? Stupid has a price tag. Put that in your pipe today and think about it. If bad things keep happening to you, you've got to ask yourself if you deserve it. And if you're dumb enough to have an affair with someone, and you're dumb enough to use your wife's phone, and then you get caught, you can't sue Uber. That's your fault. Didn't your parents tell you? Personal responsibility, accountability, it exists. It's a real thing. It's the one thing that I've decided this is what drives me mad about humanity. The one thing that drives me crazy is that we just don't have a general personal accountability. Some people do have it in bucket loads. You know those people who commit suicide whenever they're like their company paints toys with lead paint and like one kid gets a bit sick and goes to hospital and the guy falls on a sword.
Sure, yeah.
You've heard those stories, right?
Yeah.
That's extreme personal accountability. Mm. I'm not saying that. And I'm also not saying Jacob Zuma level personal accountability, which is zero. I'm saying like halfway. Let's do it halfway. Where when Mabale decides that, you know, she wants to, I don't know, rob a bank and she gets caught, then she accepts, well, you know what? It was a 50-50 chance. I got caught. I don't have the money from the bank robbery and I'm going to jail, but it's my fault. It's no one else's fault.
Ah, but why must I settle for that, Gareth, when I can hire a lawyer to try and argue for reasons why I shouldn't go to jail to account?
Exactly. Oh, it drives me mad. All right, what else is happening?
So over the weekend, it was discovered that, let me just see if I can get this right here. Suddenly I feel like Ben. Maria Savinova Farnosova, right?
Yes, of course.
A Russian athlete. It was discovered on Friday. It made, you know, it was breaking news all over the place.
What did you say?
Maria Savinova Farnosova.
No, you said it was what?
It was breaking. Oh. Anyway,
that was Maria in the background on steroids.
She took gold back in the 2012 Olympic Games, right? And Kasta Semenya came in second, so she won the silver medal. And then it was revealed over this past weekend that actually Savinova Farnosova, you were doping when you won that medal back in 2012. And so what has now happened is that so Kasta Semenya automatically now gets...
Her name is really Farnasova Savinova?
Her name is Maria Savinova Farnosova. She's Russian, Gareth. She's Russian, right?
All right.
She's from Maria Sharapova land.
Similar thing happened to Svetlana Kuryasova last week.
This is a similar thing that happened to...
Sorry, it took me a second.
When was it? Just a few days ago or a couple of weeks ago. Usain Bolt, remember? He had his gold medal taken away from him because it was discovered that one member of their relay team was doping. So now Kasta Semenya is going to be upgraded to this gold medal. But apparently she's not very happy about it. She's not excited at all.
She's a strange woman, that Kasta. She really is.
Well, it does beg the question of when these kinds of things happen. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, you know, you would be happy? Because it's not the same as earning the gold medal, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, you earned silver.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But now because this Maria Savinova Pranovnova, because now she's going to have the gold taken away from her, you now get the gold medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, a representative of Kasta Semenya said that, yeah, I spoke to her, and we both agree that it's not the same as earning and winning the gold medal. So Kasta Semenya is apparently not very excited about this gold medal that she's now about to add to her collection of medals.
Which does beg the question, does she now get some extra Father Christmas money from Minister of Razzmatazz Relations and Glitzy Things?
Razzmatazz.
I'm tweeting him right now. I'm going to ask him.
Oh, okay.
Give her more money.
Yeah.
That's going to go down so
but
well.
I don't want her to get more money from him because it's not his money to give. It's our money. And you've seen Pravin's going to push taxes up in a couple of days' time. Mm. And I'm sorry. I'm not paying for Fikile's spending sprees. I don't care about sport. I do not care about these athletes earning money. I'm not interested. As far as I'm concerned, all athletes should be poor. Should do it for the love of it.
No.
If Fikile's handing out my money and your money to these people, I'm opposed to it in every way. I'm opposed to any kind of government expenditure except the absolute necessities. Do you know what those are?
What?
Basic services.
Mm-hmm.
Like water and electricity. Which, by the way, we pay separately for anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pay your municipality for that. So I don't need them for that. What's the other stuff we need? National security? Well,
yeah.
I don't know that they've been that good at national security anyway. Look at the number of illegal immigrants that come into South Africa. Aren't we meant to be guarding our borders? We certainly don't have enemies. It's not like there's, you know, the Russians or the Americans want to invade us. It's not like Lesotho is sending an army across the border to kill us. So what do we need a big army for?
Okay, what about health? Health services, education, that kind of thing?
No, you should pay for that yourself, in my book. You should save your own money for those kinds of things. There's no way that government can be responsible for everybody's health. And education, they should provide a basic education for everybody, but that's about it.
But I mean, I'm talking about basic health services. I mean, I don't know when the last time you walked into a government hospital.
I won't
but
go
like,
near it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Basic health services, please.
Well, maybe you've got to, you know, watch your sensible again. I'm just being an idiot. Hey, Alison, what's up?
Roads. We need roads.
Alison?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Well, it's World Radio Day today.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I wanted to talk to you. Sorry, I thought you were just calling in, you know, one of these callers. But I know what we've got to talk about. World Radio Day. You guys are doing the thing with Consciousness Cafe, right?
Yeah. Well, it's I'm actually speaking to you from Paris.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, so good morning, South Africa.
Yeah.
In your lovely summer sun. It's, of course, winter where I am. And I just wanted to talk about World Radio Day.
Well, you are – let me just explain to everybody. Alison Meston is with UNESCO, and today World Radio Day?
It certainly is.
All right. Very good. And along with Consciousness Cafe, you'll be hosting your first on-air dialogue with CliffCentral.com from 3 to 6 p.m. today to mark World Radio Day. And you'll be discussing why it's so difficult to talk about the fear and anger that still divides us.
Well, my role has been to make sure that World Radio Day is celebrated around the world. So I've been the coordinator for getting radio stations, such as yours, Cliff Central, in doing events to celebrate the day. So basically, we've got over 100 countries celebrating World Radio Day. South Africa is one of them. And today we're celebrating the theme that radio is you. And it's because radio is everything because of its listeners. We love radio, and I'm sure that you've got lots of listeners right now listening to the radio and listening to your discussions in the car as they go to work. And what we want to do is celebrate that radio allows us to have different opinions and engages the audience on this special day.
Do you feel, Alison, that we're at a stage where people are listening to each other's opinions? Because I sometimes get the feeling, especially when I look at what's going on in American politics and even back here in South Africa, I get the feeling that people are in their bubbles and that they don't like to listen to other opinions that don't reinforce their already existing point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the big difficulties that we've had with social media over the past few years in particular. You know, we have our social media networks, and you often find that your social media network is an extension of your lounge room, and you only invite certain people into your lounge room with certain opinions. And mm-hmm. So what we do is we share those opinions with each other, and then if someone comes along with a different opinion, it's really easy on the internet to get quite shouty, isn't it? You just type away and you say something mean, and then this shouting match starts. Whereas radio allows you to have a dialogue. And I think that's what's so interesting that's happening with Cliff Central this afternoon with Consciousness Cafe, is that people actually can sit down and share a broader discussion than just shouting at someone from across the internet. You know, last year, more people still listen to the radio than watch TV or their smartphones.
Yeah, I think that's probably changing, and probably for good reasons, because I think for most people, the one piece of equipment they have with them wherever they go is their smartphone. But certainly there are merits to us sitting and listening to each other rather than attacking each other when we hear things we don't like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is what's interesting about the way we're communicating with each other, not only within your own country. I mean, you've just had a discussion about education and health and immigrants. And these are things that people in other countries are also talking about. And so radio allows us to have that discussion on air. But then with our new technology, the future of radio means that we can actually really delve deep into those conversations. And, you know, audiences can have a say. Your audience at Cliff Central and at other radio stations can actually have a say, and you can tell your government, hey, this is what we're thinking. Radio allows people who can't read to listen to the radio. I mean, it's a really important medium, and I think that's one of the reasons why UNESCO celebrates the 13th of February as World Radio Day.
I was in, I think it was last year or the year before, I was in New York for World Radio Day, and we actually had an event that we hosted at the consulate, in the South African consulate in New York. And it was amazing how many people had stories about how, you know, some story that was told or some a point of view that was put across on an audio medium, whether it was on radio or on the internet, but, you know, the idea is the same, how that moment had an impact on them for the rest of their lives. And I think because we're humans and because the way we mostly share our ups and downs and our feelings and our day-to-day experiences is through the medium of storytelling and by listening to each other and by telling those stories, I think there's a huge amount of power that we can take from that and that we use to help each other. I mean, I think it's probably the most valuable form of communication that humans who are complete strangers can have with each other.
Yeah, and you know what I like? And in fact, it was Claire from the Consciousness Cafe who said this to me. She said, you know, you always have a friend in radio. You're never alone. So even if you were in the house on your own or you're in your car on your own, mm-hmm. if you've got the radio on, you've got a friend there because right. somebody is telling a story or somebody is playing some music or there's a group of people having a discussion about politics on the radio. And I think that's why, you know, we celebrate radio. Look, I'm 43. So I remember a time before social media, and one of my first memories of the radio, you know, I'm an Aussie, so I grew up in Perth in Western Australia, mm-hmm. and we had a nightly countdown. There was a radio station that had a nightly countdown of music, and I remember calling in, and I remember voting for my favourite songs and then listening to the radio at 9 o'clock to see if my song got on. And, you know, you've got those memories from a young girl leading up to now where I listen to the radio on a podcast or I can listen to a radio station anywhere around the world. Have you guys heard of Radio Garden?
No, what's that?
Oh, Radio Garden's amazing. So it's a radio.garden and it's a globe that comes up and you can pinpoint any radio station around the world. Hmm. You can listen to the radio station in Lebanon. You can listen to a sports commentator in Turkey. It is our global world through the internet has enabled us to listen to any radio station around the world. And I love that because it really does cross borders.
Well, listen, thank you for talking to us this morning, Alison, and happy World Radio Day to you. And don't forget, everybody, if you want to catch the Consciousness Cafe, Mubs, you're going to love this. You know we've got Keke and Anisha and Claire Bell. They're all doing transformational dialogue today on World Radio Day. Thank you very much, Alison Meston. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Cliff Central, and happy Radio Day to everyone who's listening.
Thank you. There we go. Isn't that cool? Isn't that nice? World Radio Day. So Lucas comes in with a piece of paper and he goes, oh, Alison's on the line. So I'm like, oh, it's someone called Alison. I didn't know it was the Alison that we were meant to talk to anyway. Coming up in a short while, we're going to speak to Rich Mulholland and find out what's going on there with the reality
this
check.
Sometimes.
This place is madness.
I just don't know.
Don't forget tomorrow, our Valentine's Day special. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090. You want to WeChat us, you could do that too. Lots of people do. Here are some comments. Roscoe says, am I the only one who realizes that the girl suing the lottery because the money ruined her life is suing for more money? The case will be thrown out on that alone. So she's suing them for more money than she won.
She's suing them because she says she said that the money stressed her out, but she's, you know, a lawsuit means asking for more money.
Oh. Or is she not suing for principle? Because she sounds very principled, this woman.
I never knew I would actually admit this, says Casey, but I really miss Flax. As annoying as he was, the first podcasts were available within 10, 15 minutes after the money shot. Oh, criticism there for the team who are busy putting the podcasts together.
Mm-hmm.
But Casey, don't worry. And Flax will make a return soon. He'll be updating us on his progress. So don't worry. He's not out of the game. Someone wore a Make America Great Again dress to the Grammys.
Oh, yes. We call
it Joy Villa. Do you know who she is?
We don't know who she is at all.
Okay.
But well, evidently, she wants to be known by wearing that dress.
So she wore a Make America Great Again dress.
Yeah, okay, well.
Now we know her.
There's room sort for of. Everybody. All right. Anything else we need to know about before we get to Rich?
Well, just a tiny little update on Misha Barton. We were speaking about her last week.
All right, yeah.
And if you want to feel bad about her even more, she's driven a van into her new apartment building.
She's a disaster.
Yeah. So, what's, you know,
happening there?
She's driven a van.
Yeah. So she was having,
who's given her a van?
She was having a meltdown in her, you know, house, and we heard that her neighbors were complaining about her. So she moved out of that house into a new apartment building, and she decided.
Misha Barton.
So she decided to drive her own moving van, and that is when she drove it
How
into
bad
her,
is her
own.
Life?
I know.
Wait, have you ever, like, I've moved house a couple of times, you know? I've never driven the van.
Oh, do you know what makes it worse? 2 days prior to this crash, she was spotted actually living out of that van. So we don't know if it's because her new apartment wasn't ready.
Guys, this is what happened.
Maybe the van owner is her new boyfriend.
Yo, guys.
What a sad.
Or she took a 3-day rental with a duvet extra.
Ah, shame, man.
The M and Me shows for misery. Let's move on.
Poor Misha Barton, and she was such a star. Let me tell you again.
31 years old.
Hold on a second. If you think fame is going to solve your problems, a lot of people think money's going to solve their problems. A lot of people think some miraculous drug is going to solve their problems. A lot of people think that the perfect relationship is going to solve their problems. And some people believe fame will solve their problems. Well, Misha Barton was famous. She was probably one of the most famous TV stars for a while. Look at her now, living in a van.
Yeah, that's what happens sometimes, huh?
And clearly she's not okay in the head.
Oh, shame.
Driving into that building. I mean, that's insanity. Not a happy girl.
At all.
Not a happy camper. Well, all right.
Camping out of a van.
Yeah, camping
okay,
in the van.
Sorry.
All right. Yeah, camper van. Okay, what else? Let's wrap this up.
Ah, okay. So here's an interesting, but also maybe just a little bit of a scary story. Authorities in a northern Greek city were very busy yesterday. They had to evacuate an estimated 75,000 people. So that army experts could come in and defuse a 227-kilogram unexploded World War II bomb.
You know, there's still some of these things lying around.
There was a similar story that we spoke about last week as well, similar to this one. But I mean, this they're calling the biggest, you know, peaceful evacuation in modern times. 75,000 people had to be taken out of their homes when this bomb was discovered under a petrol station. The evacuation started at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Police went house to house, ringing bells and knocking on doors to remind people who were living within the determined kilometer radius that, you know, they had to leave their homes. They then went in there at around 11:30. It took them just half an hour to defuse the bomb. And now they have to figure out how to safely, you know, remove it from underneath the petrol station and transport it to somewhere
Damn.
Else.
You know, a bomb can stay there and 60 years later, it's still dangerous.
Yes. The bombing was done by English and American planes in 1944.
Yeah. There wasn't Nazis. This isn't like something left over from the Nazis.
Well,
is this an English bomb or an American bomb?
Yeah, I mean, the Allies were targeting local German rail facilities at the time.
Okay, so it's in Germany.
Yeah. But I mean, how's that? Hey, 75,000 people. I mean, they bussed them to schools, you know, to makeshift shelters that were built for them. Those who, you know, were very limited in their mobility were booked into hotel rooms. It's a massive operation moving 75,000 people in your city.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Well, because of one old bomb.
Very old bomb. 227 kilograms.
Did they manage to detonate it?
It says that they defused it, and now the next phase of the operation will be transporting it safely because it was found underneath a petrol station.
Yes, it probably looked really scary as well. Can you imagine what those old bombs looked like? I imagine a big round sphere.
I'm looking at pictures of it now. It's wow.
What does it look like? Can you describe it?
It looks like something out of that Medal of Honor kind of game, Call of Duty, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
But describe it. Is it spherical? Does it look like a rocket?
No, there's just like a lot of circular kind of things together. It looks like a huge bomb, but like if you were to draw a bomb, because it's quite basic.
So like a round thing with a fuse?
Several round thingies against this like wall.
Wow.
Yeah, they say that they're still going to figure out what further steps to take after they've safely, you know, transported it away from where it was found. So I don't know if maybe they will end up detonating it, or I don't know. Well, I mean, could you keep something like that in a museum?
If you take out all the gunpowder and everything.
Yeah.
If there's gunpowder, I don't even know what kind of a bomb it is. But there are still parts of Mozambique where you can't walk around. You can't drive a car because of mines.
Shucks.
The minefields.
They still have to clear out some of those mines, and they're still doing it this many years later. Right? It's amazing. Okay, Rich Mulholland coming up next with a reality check. It's time for us to find out what's bothering him. You know, there's always something that drives Rich crazy. And then in a short while, we're going to speak to a really amazing human being. And I don't say that about many of our guests, but this guy's incredible. Joey Evans. We're going to talk about him going from being paralyzed to doing the Dakar. No small feat. So another inspiring story on cliffcentral.com this morning. Don't go anywhere. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. And here's Ariana Grande, easily the cutest, sweetest, sexiest looking little thing. She's tiny. You could put her in your pocket. You seen how small she is? She's tiny. She's like a hamster.
I liked it when, because she's tiny, and then they used to have this joke when she was dating Big Sean.
Yes.
It was like tiny Ariana Grande with Big Sean.
Yes. She must still be sore from those days. Rich Mulholland's here. It's time for us to find out what's annoying him, what's driving him crazy, and what we need to talk about, what we all need to get into. So, Rich, happy, how are you?
I'm very good.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
The last time we saw you, you just got back from Iceland, and you had some stories to tell there. You've been traveling again.
Yeah, quite a bit. Been in in reverse order, Puerto Rico, UK, Portugal, Canada, and Dubai.
Jeez. Nice.
Yeah. No, not really.
Canada?
Yeah, Canada.
You were in what? Saskatchewan.
I was in Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton on a speaker tour there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was well. Cool. It went very well. I was staying in an airport hotel and basically flying every morning to the next venue and back.
That's tough.
Yeah, so it's not like you see anything. You fly in, you have a lunch, you do your talk, and you fly back out. And I literally stayed in an airport hotel and went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was very cool. The Canadians are awesome.
All right, what's driving you mad today?
The internet. People on the internet.
All right, who and what are they doing?
Okay, so I woke up on Sunday morning to get caught up into one of these Twitter battles that sucked me in. It was like it had so much internet gravity that I just couldn't escape it.
Yeah,
and it was centered around one of my favorite people and one of my least favorite people. So my favorite comedian by such a long shot is a guy by the name of Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, we all love him.
He is hilarious.
Australian guy,
yeah,
right?
Australian guy. He's smart. He's funny. He says the most deeply inappropriate things in such a way that even people who would normally be offended, they're laughing. And then they go home and they flagellate themselves for laughing at the – like they shouldn't laugh at these jokes.
Right. I agree with you. Fantastic comedian.
Right. Now, he was up against, or he was in a debate on, I think it was Bill Maher show.
Yeah, Real Time with Bill
Maher. Real Time, yeah. Against Piers Morgan, amongst others.
Piers Morgan, who's...
Bit
really,
of an asshat.
Yeah, he is an asshat. Piers Morgan's a name dropper. He was involved in that. Well, I mean, he says he wasn't, but he was involved with Rebecca Lewes and all those filthy people in Rupert Murdoch's stable back in England before he became well known in America for being
the Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, also he was a judge on America's Got Talent.
Oh yeah,
Celebrity Apprentice. All of that stuff, and he, you know, he got quite cozy with a lot of the celebrities, and he considers himself a celeb now, and that's his favorite thing, is being a celeb.
Right.
So he is an asshat.
And I mean, I find the one thing about him though is I don't think he's an idiot.
No.
I think he's a smart guy. I just don't agree with what he says about a lot of things. He's quite conservative. He's,
well, you'd think so, but he was one of the guys who was absolutely hell bent on gun control in America,
and still.
Yeah,
it's still his
big thing. It's one of the reasons he was supposedly fired from taking over the Larry King gig at CNN. So he absolutely does not occupy just one space on the political spectrum.
That is exactly what the point of my conversation is today. So I don't know, do you have the clip queued up?
Yeah,
we can have a listen to a bit of the debate.
So this is Bill Maher in the middle, and then you've got Jim Jeffries, and you've got Piers Morgan. All right, let's listen to it.
The people who said during the campaign...
Hang on, this is a terrible clip. Let me just find a better one.
Right, so...
Sorry. It's the most awful clip ever. Let me just see if this is the right one. Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask this one last question? The people who said during the campaign that Hillary Clinton was the lesser of two evils, could we get the apology right now?
Yeah.
Why?
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 As if... Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
Like Hillary Clinton would have a cabinet with Betsy DeVos and fucking Rick Perry?
She wouldn't have a Muslim ban.
They wouldn't have a Muslim ban. They wouldn't be feuding with everybody in the world. They wouldn't be
tweeting.
They wouldn't be doing this shit with Russia. Are you crazy?
Bear hugging.
Calm down, Bill. There is no Muslim ban. If there was...
Oh, fuck off.
Sorry, why don't we...
Fuck off.
Okay.
It's a fucking Muslim ban.
They said there was a Muslim ban.
This is the point. This is a talk about the hysteria. I'm talking about 85% of the world's Muslims are allowed into the country.
This is what you do, Pish. You say, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, he's not going to do all these things. Give him a fucking chance, mate.
And
you know what I mean?
Why not?
He let him kill the Jews on the first day. He worked up to it.
Mate.
I have to stop you.
That is the exact ridiculous, hysterical, over-the-top nonsense.
If people
that
got
I'm afraid,
hysterical in Germany
like you,
right
ridiculous.
Away, then it wouldn't have...
He's not the new Hitler.
You just like that you won The Apprentice and you have a famous friend, mate. That's all you fucking like.
Can I say one thing?
I know
that's all you like. That's all you like.
You're losing your audience.
I'm not losing my audience.
You're sounding...
All right, anyway. So you get the basic idea.
So what happens is Piers is now having a discussion about some political fact, and Jim Jeffries... answer is fuck you. And this goes on and it's insulting, and it's you're a guy with a rich friend, and even when in fact any political conversation that they had, it felt like Jim Jeffries was running one-liners and Piers Morgan was being reasonable. Now, I said it was the internet that made me angry, not these two guys. These two guys, they're online, they're doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I hated was how, so for me, big Jim Jeffries fan, think Piers Morgan's an asshat. But I thought Jim Jeffries looked like an asshole in that, and I thought Piers Morgan looked like a smart, intelligent person trying to articulate a point of view.
Mm-hmm.
What frustrated me is that if you generally agree with the politics of one side, you'll always take that side, even in face of when you're going against the evidence. And to me, I was seeing everybody turn around and said, yeah, Jim Jeffries owned Piers Morgan. Now, when Piers Morgan said there, oh, you're losing your audience, I mean, he was losing his audience.
Yeah,
they were getting less and less and less cheery. And it just seems to me so crazy that if we accept one thing about our political standpoint, we feel that we have to take their side on everything. If we accept one thing, because for me, so I'm all for gun control, but I don't think I agree with abortion. Right? I kind of feel like, yes, women should have the right to choose, but I think that bit happened already. Now, I'm not going to debate this, and I absolutely understand even within there's nuance. There's different circumstances.
Sure.
Even within there's nuance. And so I'm willing to have my rules be challenged or my thoughts be challenged at any point. What frustrates me is that most people are not. if you've decided to put your peg in the sand that you are with this one group, well, then you're going to accept everything that they say, even when what they say is fucking stupid. And that's a problem for me. I think that we need to be able to stand up and say...
Or if you're a fan of Jim Jeffries, that suddenly everything Jim Jeffries says has to resonate with you.
Right. Now, what amazes me is the people who are calling Donald Trump a misogynist for some of the things he says. Mm. If on the misogyny scale...
Yeah, if Donald Trump is,
was a 3,
yeah.
Jim Jeffries is at 8, 9, or 10. Now, I don't think he's actually a misogynist, but I'm saying in terms of what he has said in public for laughs.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he pushes way off the – and again, I don't say this – I'm not trying to bring him down. Like, he's still my favorite comedian. I think he's absolutely amazing. But what I don't think – I think we need to move away from is blind acceptance of ideas and blind acceptance of everything.
You know what? You raised such an important point. I don't want to gild the lily on this, but I've discovered something in the last couple of days. I had someone on the line the other day, an American friend of mine, who said something about Donald Trump fascist or whatever. Now, I thought, you know what? And I didn't let her get away with it. I said to her, if you're going to say Donald Trump is Hitler, then you've run out of superlatives after that. If he becomes worse, if he's a worse person in a week's time than he was this week, what have you got left to compare him to?
Yes.
If Hitler was the worst person, I think most people in the world would agree that he's certainly right up there. He's in the top 5 most terrible humans who've ever lived. He put millions of people to death in his name by his own wicked purpose. There is no way that anyone would say, well, he was quite a reasonable chap, right?
Right.
I mean, he lost.
In the
war of what humans consider acceptable going forward, Hitler was the loser. And there isn't very much in the world that you can compare to Hitler, and that doesn't come up looking a little bit better.
Yeah, in fact, to some degree, even comparing Donald Trump to Hitler mitigates how bad Hitler really was.
Correct. So
it works both ways.
So if some guy says grab her by the pussy, suddenly he's the world's biggest woman hater. But there are actually men out there killing women. They are somehow, in my mind, better, much, much worse than Donald Trump.
I mean, Jim Jeffries has a clip about where he tried to date rape a woman.
Exactly. I mean, so this is Jim Jeffries, but he's a comedian, blah, blah, blah. So here's the other thing. I watched in Parliament last Thursday. We've run out of superlatives. The minute someone criticizes the ANC or criticizes the president, someone in the crowd is going to get up and scream racist. Now, if someone in Parliament is by saying that the president has broken the country, is being a racist, then what words do you have left for people who actually kill someone because they don't appreciate their race?
Right. Now, let me tell you.
You understand that the whole spectrum has been reduced to a point where the words don't matter anymore. They actually do matter. And if you compare someone to Hitler, you have to be willing to back it up. Show me how he's gassed 6 million people if you're going to call Donald Trump Hitler. If you're going to say Musi Maimane or John Steenhuisen are racist, show me how. And if you can't, you're not allowed to use that word anymore.
For sure. I think, I mean, so there's two very, I mean, there's two equally important and quite different, I guess, discussions around this topic. The one is on the power of the words that we have. The second, and the same point is that it's very, very lazy. To turn around now, everybody, it's like that's the new word we have for Donald Trump, or so it's Nazi, or it's racist. And so we throw around those words because we don't have to think about them. They're the easiest response.
But if we really care about what those words mean,
racism, you wouldn't bandy them around.
Exactly. You'd reserve it for the people who really deserve it. And you'd make sure that when you use it with full volition.
Yeah.
Like it's something that you completely believe to be true and you can substantiate so that you aren't found in a position where when that person does something much worse than what you've already accused them of being a racist for, you have extra ammo left so
exactly.
that you can go to war with them.
I cut a guy off in traffic the other day. Okay. I cut off this guy in traffic by accident. And it was an accident. I wasn't really an accident. I was being a bit of an ass on my motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the traffic light, he starts shouting at me. So we start shouting at each other. And then he says, "You're a racist." And I thought, no, I'm a bad motorcyclist. Okay. Now, as soon as we're all racist for these things, to your point, if everybody is a racist, then racist is not as nearly important a term as it should be.
Yeah.
But what I'd also like to say is that the problem is when we come in with – if you observe any debate with your opinion pre-made up before you go in there, none of the debate matters, and the debate should matter. If you want to, you need to turn around and say, every time a debate on any topic, even if it's one where I completely agree with one side, okay? So I'm completely for gun control. But if there's a debate between two sides, hell, let's take religion.
Right.
I completely believe in one way that I'm not religious at all. But when I watch a religious debate, I'm not sitting there saying, ah, the guy on my side is going to win. I'm sitting trying to see who's got smarter, newer stuff to bring to this conversation that I haven't considered before. How can my opinion evolve?
You know, two people who I really, on this topic of religion, who I really like to listen to, and they're both apologists for, you know, Christianity. Francis Collins, the scientist, a very smart guy. He's by no means an idiot. And C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Both of them very eloquent, erudite, very, very smart arguers, very good debaters, able to convince you that there is another position that you may have needed to consider. And that is the point. You sometimes get the impression from people who are ignorant that they've never heard an argument against their position.
What they've never done is they've never listened to an argument against their position. And that's the key, right? They've heard it, but they've refused to listen. Everybody went into this debate deciding that Piers was bad because he was, you know, his profile picture is him with his arm around Donald Trump. Therefore, because I dislike Donald Trump, everything he says is stupid.
Right.
And they forget the fact that this is a guy who's fighting Donald Trump saying, no, we need background checks with guns.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't see beyond that. The guy, in fact, in this particular incident around gun control is actually the rational guy. He is irrational. He's saying, don't take away everybody's guns, but let's just do the background checks. Let's make sure that the right things
happen. I mean, who wants mentally ill people and terrorists being given whatever weapon they like at Walmart?
Right. So it's completely absurd. Mm-hmm. But again, because we go in with one point of view, and I guess that's the premise of today's discussion, is that we need to clean the slate before listening to any argument. In fact, I mean, to some degree, we need to clean the slate before having an argument. We need to be willing to go into any debate with the position of learning. And even if you don't walk away understanding necessarily or agreeing any more with the person's point of view, at least you have a better understanding of where it came from. Because
Absolutely.
It's generally not stupid. It's just different to yours. Donald Trump, for all his flaws, I mean, the guy is, I mean, I sometimes, because I get so far left people, they're so easy to tease. I sometimes wish Donald Trump was not such an idiot, just so I could throw him in their face. I mean, he seems like a bit of a nana to me.
Yeah.
But, or like a sociopath. I do want to kind of listen. I do want to see what's going on. Hear the point of view. Hear what's happening. Hear the rationality before I give complete judgment. And I think that the world should try to do that too.
Yeah, let's just see what he can do. And what's going to happen? I mean, in that discussion, just a little bit further along the discussion, there's another guy who says, what if Donald Trump actually ends up being really good? Are people's heads going to explode? Because they've so firmly entrenched themselves on one side of the argument without listening to the other side, that if he suddenly ends up being really good for America, let's imagine they really just explode in terms of influence and power and money and all the good things, all the positive things, and America becomes this paragon again of what is working and what makes sense and where the good ideas are. If that happens under Trump, what are they going to do then?
No, then they'll vilify that still. They'll vilify the progress and they'll say that it's a few getting rich, which it possibly is. And I don't think it'll be perfect. But the idea is, and this is the crucial problem, is that people are looking at Trump's presidency with the idea that whatever this man does, we should sabotage because he's the enemy. And when he does then try to do some good things, we'll sabotage them because he's the enemy.
Yeah.
Anything that comes out of his mouth is bad. Therefore, that's where we take our cues from. If he says this, then I now know what good is because the good is opposite of Trump. And that's a problem. That's not a political standpoint. That is a, I don't like you, therefore. I mean, it's playground politics.
Willful ignorance.
Yeah, it's absolute willful ignorance. That's the term. That's what today's conversation should have been called. Pre-calculated willful ignorance. I'm choosing not to open my mind to any new thought because I dislike the source. And that's bullshit and it needs to stop.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks, always good to see you.
Awesome.
Terrific discussion. As usual, you can hear it all and all the other episodes of The Reality Check with Rich Mulholland. Just go onto cliffcentral.com and you'll find it on The Gareth Cliff Show as one of our regular features. Thank you, Rich. Nice to see you as always. CliffCentral.com.